The makers of Tenderleaf Tea and Bluebonnet Margarine present the Fred Allen Show with Fred's guest Frank Sinatra, Portland Hopper, Minerva Pyers as Mrs. Nussbaum, the Tenderleaf Workshop players, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And to the lady who sent me the anonymous fan letter, my name is Kenny Delmar. This week, ladies and gentlemen, our victorious naval forces have been coming home on battleships, cruisers, and carriers. Tonight, another flat top has just arrived, and here he is, Fred Allen!
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Kenny, I hope you are celebrating the fleet's return.
Oh, yes, Fred. Well, New York has gone all out to welcome the Navy.
Oh, I know. Last night, they had 80 men rocking the Astor Hotel to make the sailors feel at home who were sleeping there. And in that picture at Music Hall, you know, weekend at the Waldorf, they took out Walter Pigeon and put in a seagull just for the Navy. Wish some of the Navy had come in to laugh at these jokes, you know.
Well, see, wasn't Jack Benny in the Navy, Fred?
Jack Benny in the Navy? Oh, that was before water was even invented. They had the H, but they were waiting for the two O's to come out of the ark in those days. You know that Benny is the only sailor I know who can get seasick looking at a bundle of wet wash. Benny was in the only naval engagement of the Civil War.
Oh, you mean the Monitor and the Merrimack?
Benny was on the Monitor. When the lookout yelled, "Ahoy, the Merrimack's astern," Benny said, "Have them sing something." You think it would have worked better with four chicks and a chuck? If you know, if Benny was a sailor... Well, Portland, dear. You're just in time, Portland. Kenny and I were discussing the arrival of the Navy.
Oh, everybody's celebrating.
Oh, I know that.
Admiral Halsey was on Bob Hope's program last week.
Yes, Admiral Halsey is braver than I thought.
Do you know why Admiral Halsey came on at the end of Bob's program?
Well, why did Admiral Halsey come on at the end of the Bob Hope program?
He's a rear admiral.
All right, it's your joke. You enjoy it. Tell me, is your mother going to participate in the Navy Day festivities?
Mama's going to be in the parade of ships.
Oh, she's going as Hesperus, the Hesperus, is she?
No. Mama's going to wear her new corset.
Her new corset, huh?
Mama's going as Old Ironside.
Oh. Say, I hope she doesn't carry the impersonation too far.
How?
Well, if your mother thinks she's Old Ironside, she may try to back into some dry dock and get scraped for barnacles. And speaking of barnacles, I wonder if everything is ship-shaped down in Allen's Alley.
Have you a question for them tonight?
Oh, you bet. You know, since gasoline rationing has ended, traffic congestion in the larger cities has become one of the nation's greatest problems. And so our question is, how is the traffic dilemma affecting you?
Shall we go?
As the two sticks said when they saw the tom-tom, let's beat it. Ah, it's so good to be back in Allen's Alley again, Portland. I wonder if the senator is in tonight. Let's see.
Somebody thumped on my door.
Yes, Senator.
I represent the solid town.
Well, I know.
I loaned Mason and Dixon the chalk the day they drew the line.
Well, I...
Speak up, son. Out with it. Speak up. Look, up, that is.
Well, look...
You'll never get anywhere staying silent.
Well, if you...
Don't try to be another Coolidge, son.
Look, Senator, tell me, how are traffic conditions in Washington?
We're investigating. Congressman, coffee is boiling.
Well...
Coffee's boiling. That's a joke, son. Pay attention, son. Be on your toes.
Well, I'm doing that.
Yeah, you keep missing them, son.
Well, I... Senator, look, The streets are filled with cars. What is the solution of the nation's traffic problem?
One-way traffic.
One-way traffic.
Yeah, eh? Mondays all traffic moves only to the east.
Yes.
Tuesdays all traffic moves only to the west.
Yes.
Wednesdays east, Thursdays west.
Now wait a minute, Senator. What about the north and south?
Son, that was settled by the Civil War.
Oh.
Yeah, well, so long, son. So long, that is.
I heard you through the keyhole, Senator. The senator dropped a picture of Jefferson Davis. Oh, well, I'll give it to him next Sunday. Now, let's see what happens here at this next door.
Howdy, Bob.
Well, Mr. Moody, you look a little tired tonight.
Yeah, I've been on the go all day.
Busy, huh?
Yeah. I'm working for a tree surgeon.
Tree surgeon?
I go around leaving Kleenex under weeping willows.
Not so messy a field that way, is it? Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, how do you account for this traffic problem? So many automobiles.
It's progress, Bub.
Progress?
Yeah. Hoover said he'd put a car in every garage.
Yes.
Truman's got two cars parked in front of every house.
What do you think is causing the parking trouble, Mr. Moody?
Oh, it's the housing shortage.
The housing shortage, huh?
Yeah. Folks is living in garages and putting their cars out on the street.
Well, how are we going to cope with this traffic problem, Mr. Moody?
I'm a pedestrian.
And your solution is?
Every motorist should drop dead. So long, Bob.
Mr. Moody ought to get in touch with the mayor or Campbell's or something. Now, let's try this next door.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You are expecting maybe Commissar Mazeltoff?
Tell me, Mrs. N., are you concerned with the traffic problem?
Indubitably. If you'll pardon the expression.
Oh, naturally. Well, how are you concerned?
Well, every Friday, I'm inviting all my relatives for a big fish dinner.
I see.
I'm calling downtown the Fulton Fish Market.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Fulton is driving uptown with 20 sturgeon.
Oh, the whole dinner is nothing but sturgeon, huh?
Well, the sturgeon I'm cooking all different kinds of style.
Oh, good, good.
Sturgeon a la King.
Yes.
Sturgeon cacciatore.
Oh, yes.
Also, Sturgeon Fuyang.
Oriental.
Sturgeon burgers.
Sturgeon burgers. Do you have, with the dinner, you have dessert?
For dessert, I'm serving sturgeon a la mode.
Sturgeon went upstream in the sentence there. Sturgeon, you're serving sturgeon a la mode?
This is a baked sturgeon. And top is a cold sturgeon.
A la mode. Well, with this traffic congestion, Mr. Fulton can't drive up to the Bronx, can he?
It is impossible.
Well, how does he get your fish uptown?
Every Friday, Mr. Fulton downtown is throwing 20 sturgeon in the Hudson River.
Well, how do the 20 sturgeon find their way up to the Bronx?
Mr. Fulton is throwing in a herring and yelling, "Boys, follow him."
Well, that brings us to the last house in the alley.
Hello, hello, we're here to say hello.
Just a minute, boys. Before you get into your theme song, tell me, have you written any new songs for us this week?
Have you heard? I put a blank check in my pajamas at night in case I have to buy that dream.
No.
Have you heard? My Irene's the village queen, but she's always taking Benzedrine.
No.
We also wrote a blues song.
Blues song? What is it called?
I got the walking up Fifth Avenue, crossing 59th Street, stepping over the gutter on my way uptown blues.
Now, look, boys, look. Look, tonight we happen to be mulling over the traffic problem.
We got just the song you want.
Traffic song? How does it go?
Hit it, Sam. If you're a motorist in New York, you can't drive your car a block. In the traffic, you get jammed, and your rear end, you get rammed. Don't just sit there at the wheel, looking like a big schlemiel. Take a tip from me, use the BMT, and sell your Oldsmobile.
And now, if you'll step into the Junior Mrs. Department, we'll meet the five tomorrow. Maestro Al Goodman has just played I Wish from the song I Wish I Knew. Mr. Goodman's band numbers have something in common with his horses. They never finish either. And now, say, Portland, will you put down the red herringbone carpet for our guest?
Who's coming tonight?
Well, we have a great surprise tonight, Portland. Last week, as you possibly read in the papers, a New York policeman made his first appearance as an opera star at the Civic Center. He was a great success. Now, tonight, we have another unknown singing sensation, John Charles Muckenfuss.
Does he work for the city, too?
Oh, yes, for many years. John Charles Muckenfuss is known as the singing street cleaner.
Well, where did you find him?
Well, I was going down to see that new picture, Guest Wife, at the Criterion. Claudette Colbert is in it, and Don Ameche is also in the picture, and he doesn't invent anything. And I thought it might be a novelty to go in and see the picture. And as I arrived at the front of the theater, from behind a large can, I heard a beautiful voice. It was John Charles...
Must be Mr. Muckenfuss now.
Well, get ready. You take his broom and helmet, Portland.
Okay.
Come in.
Friends, is this the Tenderleaf Tea Program?
Yes.
Oh, it is? Oh, that's peachy. Then you must be Fred Allen.
Yes, that's true.
Well, if you're Fred Allen, you're just the man I want to see, and, well I don't exactly want to see you either because you're not very pretty to look
at. Now, wait a minute. Just wait a minute. Wait a minute, Bud. Who are you?
Well, I am Ursula Twing. Yes, Ursula Twing. And I am a lawyer.
You're a lawyer?
Yes. Do you want to feel my briefcase?
Well, no. I'll take your word for it.
I am a lawyer, all right. And my last case was Delt versus the Acme Poultry Market.
The Acme Poultry?
Yes, it was. And my client, Mrs. Delt, was buying a live chicken, and after the chicken had been weighed, it laid an egg.
So what?
Well, the poultry market claimed the egg, and so I sued, and the court ruled caveat emptor, and so the egg was put back in the chicken.
The egg was put back. Well, all right, so the egg is back in the chicken. What has all this got to do with me?
Well, you're in grave trouble, Mr. A. Allen. Yes, not exactly grave either, because I don't think it'll send you that far.
No.
But my client is suing.
Your client?
Yes, Charlie McCarthy. Tonight, you appeared on Edgar Bergen's program.
Under protest,
yes,
that's
true.
And
I didn't. And you said...
This makes no sense, then.
And you said too much, and you said some very nasty things about Charlie, and you've just driven that little boy into a tizzy.
Oh, I have, huh?
Yes, and you're a very bad boy.
Now, look here, Twain. You and Charlie McCarthy don't scare me. I'll fight this thing through to the Supreme Court. And if that doesn't work, I'll go right over Frankfurter's head, straight to Mr. District Attorney.
You can, as far as I'm concerned, you can go to, straight to anywhere you want. But I was here to serve you with a subpoena.
A subpoena.
And if you had better, you are ordered to appear in court next Sunday, and you had better be there too, Smarty.
If you had anything left over from the other program, put it in here, you know. We can all be... I'm supposed to appear in court, and what happens if I don't show up?
Well, if you don't show up, you know what happened to Pierre Laval? Boom, boom. Viva la Charlie McCarthy.
Going to sue you, Mr.
Well,
Allen.
Look at this summons here. It says trial will be held on this program next Sunday. Why, that little wooden runt, I ought to pull his legs off and make lollipop sticks out of them. I ought to go back over there again.
This must be John Charles Muck and Fuss, the singing street cleaner.
Say, it probably is. Come in. Well, who are you, son?
I'm Frank Sinatra.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I haven't time to talk now, son. I'm expecting John Charles Muckinfuss, the singing street cleaner.
Well, Mr. Muckinfuss sent me over. See, he can't make it. He got an emergency call.
Or a street cleaner getting an emergency call?
On 10th Avenue. It was a rush job.
Dad, here we are on the air, and our guest star is over on 10th Avenue performing a broomectomy.
Well, Mr. Allen, Mr. Muckinfuss said maybe I could take his place.
Well, I'm sorry, son. You know, this isn't one of those quiz programs where any schnook can come in off the street and take over the microphone. We only use stars.
Yes, sir.
It's nothing personal, you understand?
Oh, I understand, sir.
We can only use people with talent.
I have talent.
Really?
Yeah.
Who said so?
My mother.
Oh. Well, tell me, would you step just a little closer to the microphone, son, if you will?
I'm sorry, is this all right?
Just a little farther back, if you will, please.
See, I don't seem to get the hang of it.
No, it's a little difficult. Have you been on the radio before, son?
Well, yes, I've been on once or twice.
Oh, really? What did you say your name was again?
Sinatra.
Sinatra, Sinatra. You're not related to Sam Sinatra.
No.
I used to know a Sam Sinatra up in New Rochelle. He was a glass blower in an optician's up there. If people came in with dirty glasses and couldn't see to get out of the store, Sam would blow on the glasses. And make them...
No, I don't know Sam. No, I don't know him. I'm Frank Sinatra.
You're Frank Sinatra. And you say you're in radio?
Yes, I'm on for Old Gold Cigarettes.
Oh, are you the guy who squeezes the honey out of the apple on that program?
No, you see, I do the singing.
Frank Sinatra. Say, you weren't formerly with the Yacht Club, boy. I see a little brine on your lapel there.
No, I had sour pickle for lunch.
Oh, did you? You shouldn't eat pickles with those short arms, son. The dill drips on you.
See, I have the same trouble with sodas, you know. I have a short neck and I can't reach the straws.
Oh, really? Well, how do you drink a soda?
I pour the soda out on the counter and lap it up.
Oh, it's good.
I lost that up.
I have short teeth. Every time I bite a hot dog, all I get is a mouthful of mustard.
You know, once I knew a guy with a... Once I knew a guy with a short nose. He couldn't smell anything unless he put his face in it.
Oh, really? Well, this is all mighty, mighty interesting, Mr.
Sinatra.
Oh, Sinatra. Gosh, it's going to disappoint millions of music lovers. John Charles Muckinfuss, the singing street cleaner, not here. I wonder how long he'll be over there on 10th Avenue.
He said it looked like a long session.
Long session, eh?
The cowboys from Rodeo are parading.
Muckinfuss... Muck and Fuss may be tied up all night.
Uh-huh.
Gad, and right here in the program, we're supposed to have a song.
I can sing a number, Mr. Allen.
Well, all right, son, we're stuck. You've got me over a barrel. What do you want to sing?
How about, it might as well be spring.
All right, but don't drag it out, son.
I'll try my best.
That voice, Frankie, I didn't even recognize you before. Why didn't you tell me? Gosh, how time flies. To think that I started you on your career.
Yeah, remember when I came to you for advice?
Oh, you wanted to know whether you should take up singing or open a haberdasher's store in Kansas City.
Yeah, and you told me to stick to singing.
Ah, who knows? If you had opened that haberdasher's store in Kansas City, today you might be president.
Oh, I couldn't be president, Fred. No. I can't play the piano.
Oh, that's... Well, tell me, Frank... That singing you just did, is that the type of thing you're doing on the radio?
Yes, don't you think my style has possibilities, Fred?
Yes, Frank, but you have to think of the future. You know you're not getting any younger, son.
Mm-hmm.
New boys are coming along. Perry Como, Dick Hames, Carmen Lombardo, Frank Munn, and the others.
I think I see what you mean, Fred. Where will I be 50 years from now?
That's probably what your insurance company would like to know. But if we're going to stay in radio, Frank, there's only one kind of a program we can do when we're old men.
Fred, you mean?
Hillbillies. Mm-hmm. Frank, hillbilly singers don't ripen until they're 80. I know, I've been in warm studios with them.
But, Fred, gee whiz, Sinatra hillbilly after all.
Don't worry, Frank. I can fix everything. I know the king of the hillbillies, Zeke Manners. I can see it all, Frankie. 50 years from now, 1995, we're broadcasting from a little 2-watt station in Nutley, New Jersey. You and I are standing there in our bare feet, with our floppy hats. Zeke Manners steps to the microphone and says,
"Howdy, folks. Zeke Manners and his happy hillbillies are on the air. Let her rip." Howdy, howdy, friends and neighbors. This is Zeke Manners and the whole gang. The Hoosier Cold Shot, the Toon Creek Choir, Uncle Zip, Lily Bell, the Hokie Mountain Boys, and those hillbilly twins, Happy Sinatra and Uncle Hezzy Allen. First, I want you to meet Lily Bell.
Howdy, folks. These shoes, these are killer fish.
And here's the Coon Creek Choir.
Howdy, y'all.
And here they be, them scarecrows fresh from the cornfields, Hezzy Allen.
Howdy, Pappy.
Well, howdy, Uncle Hezzy.
Tell me, Pappy, how many hairs onto a pig's face?
Next time you shave, count them. Uncle, tell me, what has four legs and flies?
A dead whore.
No, no, our table at dinner time. Well, folks, now that we've laughed ourselves sick, Happy Sinatra and Uncle Hezzy Allen sing, "Open Up Them Pearly Gates."
Listen here, all you sinners. If you want to get to heaven, heaven, better get down on your knees and pray.
All you gambling skinheads, better quit saying 7-Eleven. Get yourself prepared for Judgment Day.
Open up them pearly gates. Open up them pearly gates. Open up them pearly gates for me. Hallelujah. When you hear that trumpet sound, I'll be coming to home at last. Open up them pearly gates for me. Open, 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 open up them gates. Open, 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 open up them gates. Open, 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 open up them gates for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When you hear that trumpet sound,
for just a word or two. Whatever concerns the family.
It isn't a smiling Irishman, and I didn't drive months mad. Thanks for the gag, Rochester.
The makers of Blue Bonnet Margarine and Tenderleaf Tea present the Fred Allen Show with Fred's guest Leo DeRocha, Portland Hoffa, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, the Tenderleaf Workshop players, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And in case you're doing your Christmas shopping early, my name is Kenny Delmar. Last Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen, an Army Air Force crew completed a record-breaking non-stop flight from Guam to Washington, D.C. in a B-29. Tonight, we bring you a man who will never again B-29, and here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And, Kenny, I had the misfortune to overhear that joke there. A man who will never again be 29. You are sharp tonight, Kenny.
Oh, thank you, Fred.
You are as sharp as either end of a butterball on a warm day. But I read about that flight from Guam to Washington. Those AAF boys broke the non-stop, non-fueling record.
Yeah, well, who held the old record?
The old record was held by Superman, Kenny.
Superman?
Yes, when Superman flew, he was handicapped by adverse weather conditions. He got caught in a storm, as I remember, over Alaska. Ice formed on the hem of his cape. Headwinds ripped off his jersey. His credentials were blown away.
Well, if Superman landed without that big letter on the front of his jersey, how did people know who he was?
Well, Superman is a contortionist, Kenny. He made an ass of himself. Now, if it wasn't for holding that
record...
Well, Portland, just in time. Say, tell me, did you enjoy your Thanksgiving dinner? And no turkey jokes, please. I heard so many turkey jokes this past week, feathers started growing out of my radio. It's molting around the antenna.
Well, Mom and I went to a hotel Thanksgiving.
Oh, for your dinner?
Yes. The chief cooked a wonderful meal.
The chief? You mean the chef, don't you?
The cook at the hotel is an Indian.
Oh, the Algonquin. Say, you and your mother must be stepping out.
Oh, Mama has to. She's in the social swim.
Really? Mm-hmm. If your mother is in the social swim, she's going down for the third time. Your mother thinks society is something they have for the prevention of cruelty to animals.
Mama...
Or Audubon's. They have a society for the cruelty to Audubon's, too.
Mama's going to the opera tomorrow night.
Oh, really? The riffraff getting in this season? That's right. The Met is opening this week. All the big opera stars will be back here in town. Lawrence Melchior, Lily Pons, Singing Sam, Andy Russell. Is your mother going formal? Is she wearing her mink knickers?
Mama's wearing her new backless evening gown.
Oh, backless?
Uh-huh. She wants to show off her new tattoo.
Tattoo?
On Mama's back, it says, Buy Victory Bond.
Oh, boy. Some slogan.
Oh, it works out swell.
Well, how do you mean?
Between her shoulder blades, Mama has a little mole.
And?
In the word victory...
Yeah?
The mole dots the eye.
The mole and imagine the mole knowing that much about grammar. Well, where's your mother? If it ever gets low someday, it'll be a comma. But with your mother's... with your mother's shoulder blades, the whole thing must be in parentheses. And speaking of parentheses, your mother is a parent, and this is a good time to start for Alan's Alley.
What is your question for tonight?
Well, Portland, this past week, President Truman recommended a 5-point national health program to provide... free medical care for the nation's sick. And so our question tonight is, what is your reaction to the president's health plan?
Shall we go?
As one glutton said to the other glutton, let's cram. Well, here we are, regardless of the traffic. Here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. I'll see if Senator Claghorn is in.
Somebody knock. Claghorn's the name. Senator Claghorn, that is.
I know you.
I'm from Dixie.
Now, look.
Thanksgiving, that is. I only ate the part of the turkey that's facing south.
Senator, I know you're from the south.
Well, no man living can make me wear a union suit.
Underwear. Don't.
What's on your mind, son? Speak up.
Well, if you give me half.
This is America, son. You got free speech.
I'm trying to exercise.
Well, go ahead and talk, son. Don't wait to be prodded. Prodded, that is.
Look, and I know what prodded is. Now, just inhale for a second there, Senator, and answer this question. How does Washington feel about the president's health program?
Now, listen to this, son. Yeah. I don't want to waste any more here. We had a big debate in Congress. Somebody was running down Senator Hill. Running down Hill, that's a joke, son.
I know it's a joke.
When you hear something funny, laugh, son. I know I've wasted another one on you. But now admit it, son. You ain't much of a whip.
Look, Senator, What do you think will happen if the government provides money for our medical care?
Things will boom, son.
Well, how do you mean things will boom, Senator?
If people can get paid for being sick, they'll all lay down.
I see.
With 130 million Americans flat on their backs.
Yes.
Things will be looking up. Up, that is. Something. Remember Stonewall Jackson.
I'll keep him in. Well, that takes care. I like to stake Stonewall apart and throw a rock at a time at the senator. Well, now let's see what's on Titus Moody's mind tonight.
Howdy, Bob.
Well, Mr. Moody, frankly, you look a little tousled tonight.
I just got up.
You were in bed all day?
No, I fell down. I just got up.
Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, what do you think of the president's new health program?
I could have used it 40 years ago.
Oh, you mean as a baby you were sickly?
Yeah, doctor said I was anemic.
Oh, you had no blood?
If a mosquito lit on me, he was wasting his time.
Gosh.
If I cut my finger...
The cut wouldn't bleed?
To just hiss a little and pucker.
Well, how did they cure you?
Every day the doctor give me a shot in the arm.
And all these shots?
When I was 5 years old, I was all shot to health.
Good. And you haven't seen a doctor since?
You know the old saying, Bub, a duck a day.
Oh, no, you mean an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
I eat a duck a day.
A duck?
My doctor's a quack. So long, Bub.
Well, Mr. Moody looks as though he's been eating decoys. Well, let's try this next house.
No.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Catherine Schlepburn.
Now, tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, are you happy about the president's plan for free medical care?
Coming a little closer, I'm having a secret.
Oh, a secret, huh? Another atom bomb?
Another Nussbaum.
You mean...
Already teensy-weensy garments I am crocheting.
Oh, yeah. You're crocheting the garments.
And little bootsies I'm buying.
Oh, little bootsies.
Dives I'm cutting. Lullabies I'm lining. Rockle Bible.
Look, just let me interrupt your hit parade for a second there. Is your husband, Pierre, making plans, too?
Then the stork is flying in for a landing.
Yes?
Pierre is standing by to shout, Roger!
Roger. Well, you have no doctor's bills to pay.
This is giving Pierre an idea to naming the baby.
Oh, you're naming the baby in honor of the president's plan?
The government is paying.
Yeah?
Pierre is calling the baby Shingle.
Shingle? Why?
This one is on the house.
Oh. Thank you. Well, that brings us to the last shack in Allen's Alley. Let's see what a knock here will do.
Hello, Mr. Allen.
Why, it's the five DeMarco sisters. What are you kids doing here in McGee and McGee's house?
We're rehearsing our song in the middle of May. May, that is.
Well, let's see. Claghorn's children, huh? Well, let's see how the middle of May sounds now at the end of November. All right. Maestro Al Goodman and the DeMarcos. And that brings us to Kenny, who has his topic well in hand. Kenny?
One topic that never loses its fascination is...
Al Goodman and his synopsis symphonists have tried to play No Can Do, and it came out No Can Do as well. Yes, Portland, you wanted something?
I brought you an aspirin. You look all in.
Oh, I am partly in. It's that Christmas shopping.
Have you finished yours?
Yes, I bought my relatives a case of bluebonnet margarine.
One case of margarine for 20 relatives?
They can spread it among them. It spreads, you know.
Did you buy anything for me, I hope?
Well, that's what started all my trouble, Portland. I went into Tiffany's. You know, it's always so quiet at Tiffany's. The atmosphere is so refined. Well, I was standing at the lavalier counter browsing. Six Pinkerton men were holding my arm. At the next counter, suddenly I heard an argument. The salesman was saying...
I'm sorry, sir. I can't take...
Listen, you meathead. If you lay a hand on
me... I'll pull your nose down your face so fast you'll think it's a zipper.
Leo. Leo DeRosa. Leo, what's the trouble?
I came in here to buy some cufflinks.
And I refuse to take his money. No good.
You're nuts. I've been spending this money for the last 2 months. Look at these bills, Fred.
Leo, this is Japanese occupation money.
I know. I'm loaded with it. I'm yen happy.
Say, that's right. I read that you and Danny Kaye spent 2 months entertaining our boys in Japan. How was your trip?
Wonderful, Fred. We flew over 32,000 miles to Manila, Guam, Kwajalein, Okinawa, Yokohama, Tokyo, and Korea.
Say, did you see that city where the first atomic bomb was dropped?
Yes, Fred. We flew over Hiroshima for about half an hour.
It was a shambles, huh?
A shambles? It looked like Ebbets Field after a doubleheader with the Giants.
Well, what about that city where the second bomb landed, Nagasaki?
You know that old song, Back in Nagasaki, where the fellows chew tobacco?
You mean in Nagasaki?
They haven't even got a cuspidor left.
Sally, did you see General MacArthur over there?
Yes, Danny and I saw General MacArthur in Tokyo.
What did the general say?
He just said hello and went back to adding up his points.
Did you meet any of your Dodger players on the trip?
Yes, I did. I saw Kirby Higbee, one of my pitchers, in Manila, and Rube Melton hitchhiked 150 miles to visit me in Tokyo.
No kidding. I guess you ran into a lot of Dodger fans with the GIs, too.
You'll find Dodger fans all over the world, Fred. I met them everywhere. They're great guys.
Well, now that you're back, Leo, I suppose you're going to take it easy?
No, Fred. I'm going to start worrying about the team for next season.
Leo, every season you worry, worry, worry. For what? Why don't you give up baseball?
Give up baseball? What will I do? I'm too old for radar.
Why? Why, you've just finished entertaining hundreds of thousands of GIs. You can go into the theater.
Who wants to be a stagehand?
What? What stagehand? You can be a star. Why, I'll put you in my show.
Your show?
Leo, I have written a new opera. It's based on Pinafore.
I've seen a lot of Pinafores on Broadway. The Hot Pinafore, Hollywood Pinafore, Memphis Bound was Pinafore.
I know, Leo, but my show is different.
What is it called?
The Brooklyn Pinafore. And you will be the star, Leo.
But Fred...
Look, the Brooklyn Pinafore starring Leo DeRosa. The first scene in my opera is the bleachers at Ebbets Field. It's the big game between the Giants and the Dodgers. Brooklyn rooters are sitting around in their underwear. Ushers are running up and down the aisles. Peddlers are going through the stands selling raw meat sandwiches for the kiddies. And as the curtain rises, we have the opening chorus. The bleachers sing... The Dodger team runs out on the field. The stands break into a cheer.
Flatbush, Greenfern, Burrow, Hall. Who's the team with something on the ball? Dodgers! Dodgers! D-O-J-E-R-S! Dodgers!
And then, Leo, you run out of the...
the dugout.
I come on?
Yes, Leo. You stand right near home plate. The rest of the team kneels around you in a semicircle. The infielders have lavender bats. The outfielders have mandolins with mother-of-pearl picks. The crowd quiets down as you step up to the microphone and sing.
I am the captain of the Dodger team.
And a right good captain he.
I am quiet and subdued, and they say a little crude, but I frighten rather easily.
He is quiet and subdued, and they say a little crude, but he frightens rather easily.
Bad language and abuse I never, never use. No one do I intentionally irk. Though heavens I may occasionally say, I never call an umpire.
Never.
No, never.
What, never?
Well, hardly ever.
He never calls an umpire jerk. So give a cheer and give a shout for the Dodger captain with a big loud mouth. So give a cheer and give a shout for the Dodger captain with a big loud mouth.
Great, great, Leo. If Rudy Valley is listening in, he'll never know another good night's sleep.
What happens next, Fred?
Well, now, Leo, comes your big love scene. The game starts, and as you're standing in front of the dugout, something hits you on the ear.
A pop bottle?
No, Leo. It's a rose. Someone has thrown a rose.
At Ebbets Field?
Well, this is a fantasy, Leo. You look up, and there she stands, the beautiful mystery girl. She speaks.
It was me that turned the rose, Leo.
Mystery girl, you're back.
Yeah, I come to wish you luck against the Giants, Leo.
You bring a message, fair one?
Yeah, Leo. Go out and light at them, slime.
Mystery girl, I cannot conceal my love for you any longer.
Please, Leo.
You don't love me?
Love you, Lippy. I'm carrying a torch for you that could light up two night games.
Then why won't you marry me?
You've got to get me old man's okay, and that's going to be tough.
Well, who is your father? Mystery girl, who are you?
You want to know who I am? Okay, I'll tell you. I'm called little Bobby Sock. Sweet little Bobby Sock. My heart for you, Lippy, could voice. Before you make me your mate, let's get this one fact straight. Frankie Sinatra comes free. I'm sweet little Bobby Socks, dear little Bobby Socks, but I'm not getting younger, you see. Too long I have tarried, but since Frankie's married, it's Lippy the Rosha for me.
Leo, that love scene will make people forget Mr. Anthony and Cleopatra. Wallace Beery and Marjorie Main couldn't have done it any better.
Well, what's the next scene, Fred?
Now it's the big climax, Leo. Get this picture. It's the last half of the ninth inning. Two men out. The crowd is going crazy. You step up to the plate. I'm the umpire behind the plate. We hear Red Barber over the loudspeaker saying...
What a game, folks. Leo DeRosa's advance. Leo is the Dodgers' only hope. One run can tie the game. The crowd is tense. Cockeye Allen, the umpire, yells.
Play ball!
There's the pitch. DeRosa swings. It looks like a home run, ladies and gentlemen. Leo is rounding first base. He's around second, around third. He's heading for home.
ball is coming in. Leo's going to slide.
You're out!
Out! Why, you lardhead, I was safe a mile.
Quiet, you. I'll knock you flatter than your singing voice.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'll slap your head up into a point, and then I'll round it off.
Says who?
Says me.
I'll pull that big tongue of yours out so far, you'll think you're wearing a red muffler.
Yeah, you fat as mustache.
Ah, you... Your sister's sideburns.
Ah, your grandmother's goatee.
Ah, your aunt Van Dyke. I said you're out. The game is over. The Dodgers lose.
Oh, yeah? I'll beat your brains out. Give me that bat.
Halt! Cease!
Little Bobby Sock. You.
Put down the bat, Lippy.
But it's only Cockeye Allen, the umpire.
He is also your future father-in-law.
Mystery girl, you mean that...
Cockeye Allen's my old man.
What's the meaning of this, Bobby Socks?
Leo wants to marry me, Cockeye, don't you, Leo?
Me marry an umpire's daughter? They'll throw me out of who's who.
You'll forgive Cockeye, won't you, Lippy?
Well, if you say so, Bobby Socks. Shake hands, Cockeye.
At last, an umpire hears a kind word in Brooklyn. I may be an umpire, Leo, but I ain't really a bad guy.
I know, Cockeye, but with those thick glasses, how did you ever become an umpire?
I'll tell you the whole sad story, Leo.
When I was a lad, I could not see a hand held up in front of me. In spite of how I'd squint and peer, I couldn't tell my father from my mother dear. My eyes were oh so very, very weak, but now I am an umpire in the National League.
His eyes were oh so very, very weak, but now he is an umpire in the National League.
As the years went by, I grew up a schnook. My eyes were so bad I couldn't read a book. The army took me, but they sent me back. I tried to kiss the general because I thought he was a whack. I'm still half blind with no physique. That's why I'm an umpire in the National League.
He's still half blind with no physique. That's why he is an umpire in the National League.
As an umpire, I gained great fame. I called a player out who wasn't in the game. Another decision which you may have heard, I'm the guy who made Greenberg stay on third. My life is a failure, I'm up the creek. That's why I'm an umpire in the National League.
His life is a failure, he's up the creek. That's why he is an umpire in the National League.
And then there's a happy ending, Leo. I give you permission to marry my daughter, Bobby Socks, and the entire ensemble joins in the big finale.
All of Brooklyn's feeling blue, 'cause the roaches getting wet, to an umpire's daughter who he needs like a hole in the head.
With me as Lippy's wife for the rest of our life, we can bill and coo.
But before you take her hand, you must first understand, I'll get no more lip from you. Swear never, no never, what never, well hardly ever. My lip I will button up when you say batter up. Even though games you will rob, I'll be ever discreet, so tender, so sweet, and soon I'll be out of a job.
So give three cheers and one cheer more for the Dodger captain who won't talk no more. So give three cheers and one cheer more for this concludes a broken pin.
Us tonight. Next week, our guest will be Wallace Beery. Good night, and thank you very much.